Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secured retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in, because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. I'm the Big Mike, Mike Zlotnik. Today, it is my distinct pleasure and a privilege to welcome Blaine Oilkers. Did I pronounce your name correctly, Blaine?
Yeah, it's kind of like Elkers, almost like the O's Elkers. Not there.
I apologize. It's Blaine Oilkers. I'm so sorry to mispronounce your name. You can call me, you can butcher up my name too. I met Blaine through Freedom Founders. He's the Chief Results Officer at Freedom Founders. He's a phenomenal leader. He's a thought leader. He's an action leader. And Blaine, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, Big Mike. Happy to be here. And thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit with your listeners. And I've enjoyed meeting you through Freedom Founders. And actually, part of the results program, we get to see each other once a week on Zoom. So I've really enjoyed that. You're a caring guy, a brilliant guy, and you really know how to connect the dots, especially here in the financial world. So a privilege to be here with you today.
Thank you, Blaine, for your kind word. I've been so impressed with you and what you do. Before this, I've spent years in the corporate world. I've never seen Chief Results Officer, but it is an incredibly important title. You drive action, these weekly calls, the meetings themselves. You are focused on motivating people. Helping them as a leader. That's the leadership function, is to get the best out of people. And that's what you do. So could you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you live, your family, any cats and dogs, kids, monkeys?
That's right. No monkeys yet. But so my name is Blaine Oilkers. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I've been pretty fortunate that I've been able to work from home. So my wife and I, we had to, come to special terms for me being around all the time. But for the last 25 years, I have worked from home. And that's been great. My wife, Beth, we've got two kids. We have the empty nest. Both of our kids are out of the nest. My son works at Apple right now in California. And my daughter's in med school right here in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's fantastic. And we do have a dog named Buddy. And I really have enjoyed kind of working from out of my home. And I was I had kind of a clarifying decision 25 years ago. I was in the corporate world. That was my degrees in computer science. And I went to Purdue University and I was working for Hewlett Packard. And I had this corporate job. And I realized I came home one day from a 3-day business trip and my son was giving me the cold shoulder. And I'm like, hey, Beth, what's going on? He goes, well, he forgot who you are because you were gone so long. And I was like, holy cow, that kind of hit me, emotionally. And I remembered when I came home, both my parents worked. So when I came home, nobody was there and I was all alone. So anyway, that night was kind of an emotional night. But I made this clarifying decision that night that I was going to do whatever it took to work from home. And so it took me a year, but a year later, I left that corporate job and I only looked at things that I could do from home. And so I got into a couple of different businesses and now for the last 25 years, I've worked from home. But what that's given me is a lot of time because I'm a little bit of a time control freak. I really want to own my time, but it's given me a lot of time to really figure out, how do people get results? What's the best way to get results? And so I've really kind of been studying that for many years. In the last decade or so, I've been helping people as this quote, chief results officer, which is basically a position of helping people implement, get stuff done on a personal level, and then also within their business.
Yeah, Blaine, thank you for that great introduction into what you do. And I have to say that I agree with you on the work from home strategy and a lifestyle. It is by choice. It's certainly by choice. And hopefully your wife can tolerate you being at home too much. I have the same kind of a joke with my wife. It makes a lot of sense. If you choose to be home with your family, and I do the same, I work from home. I drive kids to school, I pick them up from school, and it makes all the difference. You get to spend time with your family a little bit more often than with strangers. Although when I do go on many business trips, and my wife jokes about that too. But let's go back to kind of your thought leadership. When you drive results, I'm assuming it starts with a mindset. And you're a co-author of Think and Grow Rich, study edition with Napoleon Hill. It's one of the most fundamental business books of our generation. So let's talk a little bit about the mindset. How do you get folks to change the way they think? How does that drive their life? How does that drive change, and how does it drive growing personal wealth, not dollars in the bank, but mindset?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think, you know, in listening to some of these podcasts, you've got a lot of advanced wealth building strategies, right? And I think that you hit it on the head there, that the wealth typically starts in the mind with a desire. So people who are wealthy, you know, very few people, you know, win a lottery or something like this, or have money given to them from their parents or things like that. Typically, the wealthy people, it started with desire, right? And it started in their mind. They had this desire to do, you know, to accumulate wealth, and they started down a path to do it, right? So you think about this, how do you cultivate that desire? How do you empower that desire? How do you build faith? How do you bring it about, right? So you have this desire for wealth. How do you bring it about? And for me, where I got some of my very first answers to that question was in college at Purdue. I was lucky enough to read, and I still have the paperback book right here, to read that book, Think and Grow Rich, and I read it in college, and I realized at that moment, Think and Grow Rich, that I could, what I thought about in my mind, I could bring out in the physical world. And I made a saying called Waitaba, what you think about, you bring about. And it's really, you make it up, and then you make it happen, right? So now, it's not just think about it and it happens. You've got to do the work. And this book, Think and Grow Rich, was kind of like a textbook in how to take thoughts in your mind, get them really amped up, really energized, really emotionalized, and then how to turn those thoughts into a plan and into a physical reality and bring that stuff about in the world. And so I got a bit of success from doing that. And I had a corporate job. I started some of my own businesses. And then I had enough money that I really loved the book, and I had read it maybe 10, 15 times by then. So I went and I bought one of the original 5,000 copies. Now, they say there's 100 million copies in print. There's at least tens of millions of copies. But I bought one of the first 5,000 copies. And when I opened up that book, one of the original, the first page was different. I said, no, that something's wrong here. So I went back, got my paper, but I go, sure enough, that page is not in my book. And then the second page was different. And those first two, and there was a whole bunch of differences. I went on to find out that the book was redone, and most people read the wrong book. So the wrong edition of the book. And that led me to like you said, write a book, which I kind of co-authored with Napoleon Hill. But what happened was those first two pages were the instructional pages, right? And really, I'll give the listeners the two main things that came out of those pages. The first one was that he says, what do you want most? So like if you open up your version of Think and Grow Rich, if you have an old version, if the very first page says, you know, what do you want most at the top, then you at least you have the right version. But what you want most, and he wants you to make that clarifying decision. He wants you to have a laser focus. So if you have in your mind, hey, I want to create wealth, he wants you to get very specific, very laser focused. How much wealth? What does it look like? By when? You know, and get really dialed in so that your brain and other forces, which he teaches you about in the book, like other people and things like that, can work towards the attainment of that. So that was number one, is gaining clarity about what you want most. But the second page was key, because he said you can't read the book alone, and that you have to mastermind with other people. Now, I know, Big Mike, you're very familiar with the mastermind group, and you've got Freedom Founders and CG and all kinds of different ones you're a part of. And it was this mastermind concept, this idea that you have to do it with other people, and you have to tap into kind of the resources, the intelligence, the energy, the motivation, the accountability of other people. That is really, really key. So I think when you go back to look at your desire for wealth, look at one, get really clear, get some clarity, number one. And then number two, build a team or a community or this mastermind group. He's got a whole chapter in the book about that, so that you can bring that about, right? I think those are probably the two biggest things. we can unpack a little bit too, that your thoughts, I think that thought, I call it thought control, that your mindset does play a big part. But any thoughts about that, either the clarity side, Big Mike, or the mastermind side?
Yeah, Blaine, this is phenomenal. I honestly didn't, you know, you just clicked. I mean, literally what you just said, because I need help. And this is another conversation because I want to lose weight. And I need to raise a clarity on this. I want to be a Big Mike, but not as big as I am now. I want to be a little bit. But it just clicks. It's the clarity and then the mastermind. I don't have a mastermind to help me with weight loss. I have a lot of support on the financial side, and I do well there because the power of mastermind is just phenomenal. We know this. I mean, I go to Freedom Founders. I go to the Collective Genius. I go to California Investors Mastermind. I go to Venture Alliance. There's a number of other ones. But the point is the same. They reinforce. It's the networking. It's the kind of the sharing of knowledge, experience, accountability, and different priorities for different folks. For me, it just hit me when you hear on the podcast that I need the clarity and I need some kind of mastermind to help me with the, you know, with weight, because I eat a little too much in the evening and I weigh a little too much. But I have to say that the clarity is the key, because without the clarity, you focus on many things and nothing gets done. And you need a support group, and that's the mastermind is the support group. So it certainly rings a bell to me on personal level, and I can tell you from a financial wealth being and a personal mindset growth, nothing beats these great masterminds. I mean, Freedom Founders is a phenomenal event. I love that event. I mean, this. I joke about this, and I just got off the phone with Jason Medley, the founder of the Collective Genius. We're very close friends, and I love Collective Genius Mastermind too. But I think Freedom Founders is even better. If you're trying to think about your own personal growth, it's different from the Collective Genius. Collective Genius is a mastermind of movers and shakers, the deal makers. The Freedom Founders is a mastermind a little bit more about financial acumen, about making a plan, about making the right investments, and it's different, and in some ways it's better. So I certainly believe in what you said. Masterminds have phenomenal power. It's the strength in numbers. It's the collective knowledge. It's the network. It's the board of directors. People can look at your stuff and give you feedback. So very few things in life bring better in you than a good mastermind. Now, I mean, there's obviously your personal relationship with God, your faith, but on a business level and personal development level, wealth level, and again, dollars and let's call it your mental state, very hard to find a better technique. So,
yeah, I agree. And even on the personal side, Napoleon Hill in the book, we talk about not only mastermind groups, but we talk about two other things. One is he talked about this concept called invisible counselors, and this idea of these invisible counselors, which he has God, he calls it infinite intelligence in the book. But that concept is part of one of these invisible counselors. And what he recommended was that you mastermind with these people, whether you know them personally or maybe they're not even around anymore, is that in your mind, you mastermind with them, right? So that you're sitting at a table and you could have God as one of the people at the table, right? Along with maybe there's somebody else from the past, you know, that or present or future, and you put them at the table and you interact with them. Now it's in your mind, but what's interesting is you tap into some abilities, and the more you study that person, like I know Napoleon Hill fairly well because I've studied him. I've read Think and Grow Rich maybe 60 times. I've read all of his other books. I've watched him on videos. But I've studied him so much that I can make him come to life in my mind and literally get advice from him. Right. So don't discount the possibility of having a mastermind with other people. I do it with my dad, who's no longer here anymore, things like that. And with God, right? A mastermind with God can be pretty powerful. So don't discount those. It's possible.
That's a very interesting point. What you're saying is if you know somebody well enough, you could I guess, speculate or guess what the opinion would be on your decision. It's almost like you're questioning your decision, or it's not necessarily a decision or something that you need their feedback, and you're bringing it to the table and you're asking your late father, what would your late father say? And that's a very, or Napoleon Hill.
Right.
Or, you know, any other person or supreme being or God, what would their opinion be on a given matter? That's a very interesting way to think about, that's what people say, you got to talk to God. And if you talk to God, you know what the God generally would say on a given question, if you just only listened, right? If you just only listened. Yeah.
Well, and it takes time. Like when you first do it, you know, it's you just have some thoughts about it. But as you do it more and more, you know, the experience becomes fuller. Like you start to see maybe what are they sitting on? What are they wearing? You know, what you start to bring in other senses. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell while you're meeting with them? I mean, and so Napoleon Hill kind of talks you through some of that as well. But the experience can kind of get richer and richer and richer.
I subscribe to this idea. It's a great idea, and sometimes you do this, and you get the wisdom of other people who are no longer around, or greater power.
Yeah, and maybe you study them too. Like for example, if you were to read Jack LaLanne, you ever hear of Jack LaLanne? You've heard of him? Yeah. Okay, so if you read his autobiography, you could have these invisible counselor meetings where he turned you from Big Mike to Medium Mike, right? He would be the guy that say, hey, you know, what would Jack LaLanne say about eating at night or whatever. I mean, you can begin to have this relationship, you know, with him as you learned about him, and he could be one of your fitness counselors, let's say, right? And then you'd have this kind of rich experience with him. And the more you got to know him or watch videos of him or whatever, the more power he'd have in, you know, to direct your life, you know, kind of, you know, from you know, just kind of from your thoughts and what you're learning about him as you read and get to know him.
And that makes sense. Let's not talk more about Big Mike. Let's talk about your wisdom. This is for the audience about achieving results. So in your experience, and we do this weekly call, and I find that a weekly call is probably one of the best meetings I have on a weekly basis, because we just talk about a few things and a reward, which is, I never thought about this. I never had this concept of reward. Normally when I run team meetings, we just talk about issues, we go through the routine, and we kind of wrap up. And the calls you drive forward has a concept of a reward. Let's talk a little bit about that. So how this format of people getting work done, planning, accomplishing results, and getting a reward motivates. Because I think it's a very powerful concept, and I see it in action every week, because that's how you run.
You bring up a good point. And so for the last 10 years, I've been working results. The best results have come from weekly meetings, like a weekly pulse. And a lot of business, consulting, and even this book called Traction, a lot of these things, they rely on what they call the weekly pulse. And a week is a great amount of time. And it's very easy for us human beings to put something into our schedule on a weekly basis, same time, same bat channel every week. So that consistency of the weekly pulse is the unit of time that works the best. Now, there's some daily things. You can have a daily routine. That works well as well, but the weekly for progress, for getting results, is the best kind of time increment, so to speak. Now, inside that weekly component, yes, you've hit on a few things that it took a number of years to figure out what works best. But in that scenario of this weekly coming together with your peers or with your mastermind group or with people that, you know, friends, whatever it is, the same methodology would work, which is you start off with something good. So we talk about wins. So people talk about their wins for the week. Now the win component is important because you have a place to celebrate. You get excited to share with other people that kind of care about you, right? So the wins are good. The wins are also they fuel a little competitive juice, which is good, you know, in a good way. If you hear somebody just closed a big deal or did something, you're like, hey, I, you know, it strives you to go for a little more. So sharing the wins are key. That's the first part. Then the second part is what we call forced clarity. And the forced clarity comes from you sharing what's your top item for the next week or that current week, based on when you're having the meeting, but what's your top item to focus on over the next 7 days? And that forced clarity, week in, week out, you got to choose the top, maybe you have a couple things, but you're forced to choose those top things that are more important, that the, you know, the 80-20 rule, right? The 20% that produces the 80% of the results. You're choosing those items up front. And then the last part is to hold yourself accountable. Well, there's two reasons why you have a reward. One is you've got something good to look forward to. So you always want to have something good. The psychology of having something good that you're looking forward to can pull you through, can keep you going, can have you stay up a little bit later or say no to the shiny object because you know you have to get this other stuff done and you've got this reward coming. Almost like the day before vacation is a very high results day. It's the day people get 3 to 10 times the amount of normal stuff done. Why? Because you make a plan, you got a big reward, and you got forced clarity on what you have to get done, right? So that day before vacation, we try to bring a little bit of that in. And then also you could have a leverage stick. You could have the carrot or the stick. So you could have a penalty. So if you don't get your item done, then there could be some kind of penalty. So sometimes that works. But that format, over the last 10 years, I've kind of overseen tens of thousands of what I call personal implementation plans. And that format, you know, works and works well.
Yeah, I have to say that years of your experience and your wisdom perfecting that model, the wins, the top items for the next week, a little bit of a carrot and stick, mostly carrot reward, is one of the most human ways to motivate people. Non-machine, non-mechanical ways. You could come up with all kinds of you having a degree in computer science, and I too studied computer science and mathematics. People think a little bit too machine-like. They set up these, you know, systems and then they can't execute. And the simpler you keep it, the more brilliant it is. So these weekly calls have certainly been very helpful to me. And they absolutely help you focus and get clarity on what are the top items. Because a lot of noise, just life, business, right, is full of noise. And we often set quarterly goals or annual goals, but noise blocks the big goals at times, and you're just constantly in the noise. And if you don't re-clarify on a weekly basis, sometimes you lose the focus. And I think that's the success of these weekly meetings, at least from my observation.
No, you're right on. The noise, you got to be so careful of the noise, right? How do you set up systems and meetings and things that help you stay out of the noise, stay out of the fog, stay clear, you know, stay where you want to go, and enjoy the journey along the way as well. Yeah, for sure.
That's right. Life is a journey. Enjoy the ride, for sure. You got to have that. So what's the best way for folks who were listening to get a hold of you? If they wanted to engage you to help them with their own personal implementation plan, or maybe they want you to come as a consultant and teach your wisdom, or just want to reach out to you with some questions. Is there a good methodology or a website or...
Yeah, I think I've got a couple different websites where I give away some information and then you're kind of like connected up to me. I think one very easy one is forcedclarity.com. So forcedclarity, F-O-R-C-E-D, clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-Y.com. And there I talk about the four steps to gaining clarity and even how to find the time to gain clarity. Because I think, you know, like I said about the book Think and Grow Rich, getting clear, making a clarifying decision is probably the most important thing you could do. That's a good place to start. I did a TEDx talk that was kind of a bucket list item for me, where I talk about this concept of Ytaba, what you think about, you bring about. And so that website is BlaineTEDx.com. So BLAINE TEDx.com. And that was a lot of fun for me. That's probably the easiest ways. I'm also on LinkedIn. I've got 20,000 or so connections there. You can find me, you know, on LinkedIn. But yeah, I think those things would be helpful. And you know, I'm here to serve. I work from home. If I can help you in any way, happy to do it. And I think that, you know, God put me on the planet to help people take control of their lives by taking control of themselves. And so that's really the space that I play in and we'll dedicate the rest of my life to. So I really, really do enjoy it.
Thank you for sharing. And I personally greatly appreciate your wisdom and your caring and your sharing and your weekly calls. And we need to chat offline to get me, I think I have the clarity, but I need little probably help with the execution on the, with my personal, you know, fitness and weight plan. But I have to say that you certainly are one of the most humble people that I know. You just the way you do things, it's just so humble. And at the same time, it's very empowering because you're providing true leadership. And I wanted to acknowledge this. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and being a guest and sharing your wisdom.
All right, really enjoyed it, Mike. And you know, your listeners are they're in the right place at the right time. So I keep listening to Big Mike. He knows what he's doing.
Thank you, Blaine. And I apologize for butchering up your name. I do that from time to time. Thank you. I'll see you soon at the next Freedom Founders. Thank you. Well, I'll see you later today on the call.
That's right, that's on our weekly call. Right? All right, guys, take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike Zlotnick. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.